Well, if you would, take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Today is Sunday, November the 7th, 2021. There is a phrase that we've all heard a lot in the last couple of years, a lot more than we ever had before. And that phrase is, follow the science. You've heard that once or twice over the past couple of years. Follow the science. And generally speaking, I think we all know that science is a process with tests and methods that evolve, and then they, you know, hope to get to the truth and accuracy. The problem, I think, especially in the last couple of years, is that we hear equally qualified scientists contradicting other equally qualified scientists, and we end up going, what do I believe? You know, what is right? What's the truth? And I'm sure you can think of a lot of different examples, like climate change. There's scientists that say this, other scientists that say that. So what is right? What is the pandemic? There have been a few contradictory, conflicting viewpoints. Follow the science. There's a bit of a parallel with all of that when it comes to God's Word. Because just like with science, many times we hear contradicting doctrines regarding religious teachings and culture as well. One example, I'm sure you can think of many, but one example would be baptism. How many different doctrines are there concerning baptism? Dunked, dipped, splashed, all sorts of them. So what's right? Who's right? What scientists say may be right, but many times they've been proven wrong. But the Bible, on the other hand, rightly understood, is truth, pure, unchanging truth. And so I'm not trying to negate the scientific world this morning, but I really wanted to focus this morning on follow the scriptures. Follow the scriptures. And that's why, you know, we endeavor to do what it says here in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The scriptures, rightly divided, rightly understood, you end up with the truth, because God's word is the truth. Jesus Christ said, thy word is truth. So we don't follow a man, we follow the scriptures. We don't follow an organization, we follow the scriptures. We don't follow the culture, we follow the scriptures. In this same book, 2 Timothy, familiar verse in chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture, all of it is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of it. And I think you probably know that those five words, is given by inspiration of God, or given by inspiration of God, is one Greek word, theopneustos, literally God-breathed. All scripture, God breathed it. God spoke it. God told them what to write, and they wrote it. It says that all scripture is profitable for doctrine and reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. But I want to just focus on profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, literally, that word means teaching or what is taught. And when we see this word in the Bible, the context will tell us whether or not it's the right doctrine that comes from God, God breathed his word. The context will tell us whether or not we're talking about right teaching from God or not. And so when it comes to the things of God, we may hear something. You know, we're talking about in the religious realm, the spiritual realm. We may hear something that sounds pretty good, but we follow the scriptures. What does the word of God say? an example of this in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. And verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. People that are causing divisions and questions and all that, that's contrary to the right doctrine, the Word of God, avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. We don't want to be deceived. So that's why it's important to know what the Word of God says. That's why we read it, we study it, show ourselves approved. In Ephesians chapter 4, we don't want to get caught up into things that are not right doctrine. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And Romans said, by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. We've got to have something that's our foundation, that, look, this is the doctrine. This is what God's word says. We don't follow a man. We follow the scriptures. We don't follow an organization. We follow the scriptures. We don't follow the culture of the day. We follow the scriptures. So that's in order to not be blown about with every wind of doctrine. So we need to know what the Word of God says. If not, we'll get deceived. And, you know, a lot of things you can think about where there's different doctrines that have deceived people. You know, when you die in your next life, you're going to come back as maybe a buffalo. Won't that be a fun life? Or all of these things. Well, what does the Word of God say regarding these topics? We may hear someone preaching and, wow, they sound really good. I like the way they're delivering the message. That sounds really cool. Wow, he uses a lot of great examples. He's got a lot of letters after his name. Well, look at Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, after being in Thessalonica, Paul went down to the city of Berea. And in verse 10 of Acts 17, Acts 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and then searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Isn't that interesting? We don't follow a man, we follow the scriptures. We don't follow an organization, we follow the scriptures. We don't follow the culture, we follow the scriptures. What does the Word of God say? And thinking about this, I'm sure you're familiar, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul addressed a little bit of this. In verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, now, I beseech you, brethren, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean they all had to root for the Cardinals. We're talking about godly things, spiritual things. Speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, this I say, Every one of you says, I'm a Paul. I like Paul. I really like it when Paul teaches. And then you got somebody else going, well, I like Apollos. Apollos is just, he's just the coolest. And then somebody else, I'm of Cephas, which is Peter. You know. Then you got somebody going, I'm of Christ. Good choice. And then Paul said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then he brings this up again in chapter 3, where it says, in chapter 3, verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? See, when that kind of stuff is going on in the church, it's carnality, God's word calls it. Not a candidate for the meat of God's word. You are a bunch of babies, he's saying. A bunch of carnal babies. And then he explains it. For while one says, I'm a Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Let's give God the glory. So they were a little whacked out there in Corinth, you know, they were having some problems. But Paul was addressing those things. And so, you know, once again, you know, we don't follow a man, we follow the scriptures. We don't follow an organization. We follow the scriptures. We don't follow the culture. We follow the word of God, the scriptures. What does the word say? In Galatians chapter 1, some pretty strong words here in Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6. Galatians 1, 6. He said, I marvel, I'm astonished that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Then he said, look at this. But though us, Paul and company, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify, I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote what God told him to write. And that's why in Timothy we read all scripture God breathed. And you're probably familiar with 2 Peter. Let's bounce over there for a second. We're going to read a chapter in Timothy in just a minute. But I wanted to look at some of these things first. 2 Peter chapter 1, I know you're familiar with this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, the Scriptures came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. All Scripture, God breathed. God told them what to write. And speaking of writing these epistles, if you would go to the end of this epistle, 2 Peter, in chapter 3, In verse 15, it says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, look at this, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." But what Paul wrote was from the wisdom given to him. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I didn't receive it from man. I wasn't taught it, but I got it by revelation. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. As also, verse 16, in all his epistles, the word that he wrote. And he wrote a few epistles, didn't he? In all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You know, Peter is saying the people that are having a problem with what Paul wrote, they got a problem with the other scriptures too. They got a problem with the Old Testament too. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also be being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. In other words, keep your head in the Word of God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read chapter 4, but first we're going to look at a few other things. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and still believe it's true. Our number one priority in our own personal lives is our personal relationship with God. Our number one priority above everything else. They asked Jesus Christ, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first great commandment. God has to be first in our lives. And that's why we read and study, so that we can absolutely know the truth that God wants us to know. The right doctrine, the right teaching, and then we can follow the scriptures. And one other thing, and I think this is important to note, the more of the truth of God's word that we know and believe, it's much easier to recognize things in our culture that are ungodly. Because we're looking at things through the filter of the right doctrine. We don't follow the culture, we follow the scriptures. I'm going to read the first few chapters from the Working Translation. It's a little easier, I think. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of, and this is from the Working Translation, apostle of Jesus Christ according to the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true, dear child in believing, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Even as I exhorted you to remain at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, so remain there that you may charge certain people not to teach a different doctrine. That's what he told Timothy. Tell people to not be teaching a different doctrine, nor to give heed to myths and endless genealogies which offer controversy rather than the administration of God, which is by believing. Where is it? I'm looking at the King James now. The godly edifying. That's better translated, the administration, oikonomia, the administration of God, which is the administration that we belong to. The administration of God, the administration of the mystery. So this stuff coming in was contrary to that. Offering controversy rather than the administration of God, which is by believing. Now the end or the outcome of the charge is love out of a clean heart and a good conscience and believing without hypocrisy. Some people have deviated and turned aside from these things unto nonsensical discussion. That's a great way to do it. They desire to be teachers of the law, although they do not understand what they are saying nor what they advocate. Just thought it was a little easier to understand that with the Working Translation. Look at chapter 2. I exhort there's a whole bunch in, I mean, if we had time, we could just read 1st and 2nd Timothy. Maybe try that this week. There's a lot of stuff in there. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's why we pray for our country, we pray for our leaders. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And then verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator. And where is the mediator? Between God and men, or between God and humankind, people. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This is the right doctrine concerning Jesus Christ. There's one God, and then there's one mediator, and the mediator is between God and mankind, people. It's just so simple to read it there, right? So, we got Cheryl sitting there, and then Rosemary, and then Maggie. So, Cheryl cannot be a mediator between herself and Maggie. You can't. How can you do that? A mediator, the mediator is in between two others. There's three parts to that. There's God, there's the mediator, and then there's mankind. Simple, right? Anyway, let's read chapter 4. There's so much right doctrine when we just slow down and read the scriptures. So, we'll just conclude this morning by reading chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, the believing, the right way of believing, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, that would be the doctrine we don't want. That is why we would want to stay sharp on God's word, so that we're not blown about with every wind of doctrine whereby they lie in wait to deceive, with good words and fair speeches to get you off of the doctrine. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then they come up with all kind of legalism, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And you get some great insight by going to Romans chapter 14 and 15 about some of these things. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith or believing, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. The good doctrine. Follow the scriptures. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I think we all know exercise takes effort. It doesn't happen automatically. It takes effort, right? To exercise. You know what the Greek word is? Gymnazo, or gymnazo, I guess is the right way to say it. G-Y-M-N-A-Z-O. You know what English word we get from that? Gymnasium. A lot of exercise happens in gymnasiums, but I think that's referring to the Greek games that they used to have. Oh, yeah. Gymnasium. I was at a gymnasium yesterday, the Antelope Gymnasium over at Grand Canyon University, because Matthias Peterson was receiving an award yesterday. The National Society of Collegiate Scholars Award. So I was blessed to be there, and there wasn't much exercise going on in that gymnasium. As you know, sometimes they use gymnasiums for meetings and gatherings and stuff. But that word, exercise yourself, that takes effort. Put some effort into what? Godliness. Exercise yourself unto godliness. And godliness, this word literally means piety reverence and devotion. And the context will tell you, and it does here, that this would be having that piety, that reverence, that great devotion toward God. This is part of our personal relationship with God. Exercise yourself. Put in the effort for your personal relationship with God. It says, exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, or for a little time, it means. But we know what bodily exercise is, don't we? Yeah. Oh, sheesh. How many reps should I do? And the reason it says that bodily exercise profits just for a little time, if you exercised an hour a day, every day for the rest of your life and lived to be 105 and then you died, compared to eternity, that exercise profited you for a little, right? For a little time, the time you're here. And the time we're here compared to eternity is not long, it's a little time. But look at this, it says, for bodily exercise profits for a little time, but godliness, he just said, exercise yourself to godliness. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Our personal relationship with God is profitable for all things in our lives. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So yes, bodily exercise necessary. We need to exercise our bodies. We need to move. But number one priority in life is our personal relationship with God. And God's word tells us, exercise yourself to godliness. Work at your personal relationship with God. Then verse 9 says, this is a faithful saying. Literally, that would be, the word is faithful. The word saying is logos. The word is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. For thereunto we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, or think disparagingly of your youth. So some of us aren't youths anymore. Maybe there's some folks on the phone line there. Maybe you are some youths. Whether or not, don't let anybody think disparagingly of you as a born-again believer. You are God's child. We belong to God Almighty. Whether people like it or don't, doesn't matter. God's opinion is far better than anybody else's. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirits, not the text, in faith or in believing, in purity. And then look what he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance to it. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate. Meditate. Wow, that means to think about these things. You know, run them through your mind. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. When you read save or salvation, that word's used a number of different ways in the scriptures, and the context will always tell you what it's talking about. Could be saved or delivered is another word. So it could be talking about being delivered from physical deliverance, deliverance that's available to people when they get born again and they get delivered from the power of darkness and they receive Holy Spirit and they receive eternal life. It could also be referring to deliverance from the judgment to come. We've been delivered or saved from the wrath to come. Here in this verse, it's deliverance in our day-by-day living, which we all need. Would you agree? Amen. Yeah, we need deliverance day by day. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself, deliver yourself, and them that hear thee. Where we can bring deliverance to other people by giving them the right doctrine, the right word of God. So there is no guarantee that when we follow the science, we will always be right. There's no guarantee of that. Science may be right, may be wrong. But the Word of God, rightly understood, is the absolute truth concerning everything it speaks about. Everything. The truth of God's Word. So, we don't follow a man, we follow the Scriptures. We don't follow an organization, we follow the Scriptures. We don't follow the culture, we follow the Scriptures. And our big question is always, what does the Word say about that? I better check and find out. So let's pray. Father God, you are so kind and so good. Thank you for giving us your wonderful Word that we could, if we want to, read it, study it, meditate on it. And Father, that we could look at all of life through the lens of your rightly divided Word. Thank you, Father, for continuing to open the eyes of our understanding as we do. Thank you for helping us in our day and time and all the things that we deal with in our day and time, as believers through the centuries have had to deal with in their day and time. Thank you that you are still a loving God. You are a God of miracles, and you have not changed, and your arm has not waxed short. You are still a powerful, delivering God. So we're so thankful to be part of your wonderful family as we anticipate our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is coming back because you said so. And until that day, Father, may we continue to love you. May we continue to build our personal relationship with you. And may we reach out and love others with the love of God and the right doctrine. And I pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.